Thank you, Lord. Saints, we need to make time for the presence of the Lord just to have free access to our life, to glorify the Father, to draw us into life intimacy with Himself. There is no greater human privilege in the universe than to know our Heavenly Father as He really is. Lord Jesus, we confess our frailty to You today, in and of ourselves. To know You, Lord, we do not have the capacity. But we thank You for the marvel of Your grace, Lord, that before the foundation of the world, You designed and provided everything we will ever need for life and for godliness. You showered us with such bounty. And we give You praise, we give You praise, we give You praise. Open our awareness today. Cause us to see more than what our eyes can see, and to know more than what our understanding can reason out. To lay hold of Your grace, Your provision, past all human understanding. Father, open Your word to us today. And we give You glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank You, Lord. Well, somewhere in the journey today, we want to get to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, as my normal statement is, that's the Bible. And so we ask the Lord just to grant us insight into things that He's given to us in His Word. We want to talk about, I don't mean talk about, but expose ourselves to the true love of God. Just as a forethought, let me draw this to our attention. The Bible has a lot to say about God's love being shown to us. And yet, when we come to Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible tells us that we need supernatural divine help to lay hold of the love of God. Now, for creatures who are as love hungry as we are, and in need of love, that shouldn't be a difficulty. But I wonder if all too often we put the love of God in a little cubicle according to our understanding or to our emotions or feelings or expectations, when God's purpose is so much more, so infinitely more expansive than anything our human understanding can comprehend. For in the love of God, not only do we have the privilege of the highest intimacy possible for human beings with God, but we also have the privilege of the highest usefulness in the universe. What would it be like if you spent the rest of eternity up in the air and harping? You know what the normal sentiments are, that we're all going to heaven and play a harp, something of that nature. And I'm not being derisive in that sense at all. But for us to have some comprehension of the magnitude of God's purpose with His people, how that the Lord is going to administer the universe through His saints, and ultimately how He's going to show His great wisdom, many-folded, many-sided wisdom, in defeating the one who first defeated man and bring him to his ultimate judgment through the saints. Now that means that there is a degree of courage that we need to face the immensity of the spiritual world that is so far beyond our comprehension and so far beyond our human ability. Remember what the Lord says, that he will crush Satan under your feet shortly. How shortly? Well, I'm not sure about that, but it probably has a little bit to do with our faith. Whenever we're ready to face the issue, God manifests his triumph, but not without your feet. And this is what's astounding and amazing and perhaps in a natural sense threatening to us, because it's an order of things so far beyond us. And yet the Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that we are to come before him with boldness and access. And we'll see that in just a moment. But let's read some word. Let's start with Romans chapter 5. These are all very common scriptures. And it's all right because we need to refresh ourselves. Excuse me. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now, if the Holy Spirit poured out the love of God on us, why do we still need God's help to lay hold of his love? These are issues we want to address today with hopefully stimulation to greater faith, to greater expectancy, to boldness, to fearlessness in the things of God. See, God not only works in us to show forth the glory of his grace, but he works through us to show his wisdom and his power. And one without the other is not complete. See, God not only transforms us, but God equips us to stand fast in the Lord, for we wrestle against the powers of darkness, the evil of this world, not the little demons, but the biggies of the dark world that God calls us to confront and to declare his triumph against them and bring them to defeat through the saints. Yes, people like you are, like I am, that God uses in our weakness to show forth the glory of his majesty and his power. Thank you, Lord. I've also got the Amplified Bible here, so if you'll give me a little extra time, we'll get some extra words in there. Okay, not Ephesians. We're going to get there eventually. Don't rush. Romans chapter 5. Such hope, verse 5, never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Verse 8, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. That is the epitome of the love of God. Remember, God's love is not, first of all, an emotion. God's love is an action of forgiveness, of redemption, of acceptance, of playing out in our lives the purpose of the ages. Hallelujah. To show forth the glory of His grace, to restore us, to bring us into intimate fellowship with Him, and then to work through us, to show the greatness of His wisdom and His power through the mighty works that He does through His people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is 1 John chapter 4. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. That I need a little more light here. My print's getting too small in my Bible. That God has given His only begotten Son into the world, or sent His only begotten Son into the world, not that we might have help me, Jesus. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay, this is 1 John 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, or born ones. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, in other words, born ones of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can we comprehend what God has kept under wraps inside these earthen vessels that we only perceive dimly? He says, when we see Him, we'll discover that we've been like Him all the time. We just didn't know it. And so we fight with our frailties and our foibles and our weaknesses and our conflicts according to the flesh, when God would call us, first of all, to say, Lord, work Your word in me. Let it be unto me according to Your word. Not what I feel, not what I think, not what I understand, not what is determined by my human experience, but what is determined by Your eternal purpose that cannot fail. Hallelujah. Okay. It's time for Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation. Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which was bestowed on us by the exercise, the working in all its effectiveness of His power. When we look at this brief writing of only six chapters, There is one characteristic that comes to light with great emphasis, and that is a comparative term. For example, we are chosen in Him. We are saved. We are forgiven according to the riches of His grace. And on, the Word of God describes how God's grace is extended to us, and the qualities of His being are being portrayed to us, or not portrayed, but bestowed on us by His grace. Maybe I ought to take a minute and just look at some of these things. Okay, let me back off here to the very beginning of the book. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Even as in His love He chose us. Or the actual wording is, according to His love He chose us. Actually picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ before the foundation of the world. You kind of get the idea that God thought things through and devised a plan long before the sun and moon ever came into being or this earth was thought of. And now He's working out all things according to the purpose of His will. Hallelujah. That we should be holy. Anybody here feel holy this morning? Anybody feel like a sinner? Well, it's somewhere in between. God says you're holy. Now, don't believe the devil's lie. God made you for Himself, and the power of His grace is such that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And in that there is great confidence and boldness to lay hold of the provisions of His grace. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated and set apart for Him, and blameless in His sight, by reason of the power of His grace. When God looks over your spirit, He finds no fault, because there is no fault. Because His grace has done a perfect work. And God looked at it and said, it's very good. Stuck it inside these clay pots, put on the lid, so you'd have to walk by faith. Your flesh couldn't stand to see the magnitude of that glory anyway. And so God meters out the bounty of all His fullness to us. That we should be blameless in His sight, even above reproach, before Him in love. For He foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted or to be placed as mature children, revealed as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will. Another one of those in accordances. Because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. You know, if we had any idea of what God has done to us and what the miracle of the new creation is, see, the greatest act of God's His ability and wisdom and power is not speaking the universe into space. It's bringing about a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest marvel of his wisdom and power, his ability. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 7. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. See, forgiveness is no mean, niggardly thing on God's part. He shows and demonstrates and applies the superabundant grace that works effectively according to his mighty power. Now, when the devil gives you a hard time, why don't you play back some of the truth to him? When your flesh defeats you, say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Making known to us the mystery, secret of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this, in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. I better hurry on here. Verse 11, in him we also were made God's heritage, possession, or portion, and we obtained an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen, appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. Nothing is left to accident. Nothing is left to perchance. Thank you, Lord. Your eternal destiny is marked out, and God has committed to you for you to make it. If you just give him an opportunity, he will get you there with flying colors. He will get you there in glorious majesty and triumph, ultimately to rule and reign with him for all eternity. Well, I better leave some things out here. I won't get done. Not even close to getting done. Ephesians chapter 3. I think I left off at verse 7. Let me continue from there. Thank you, Father. Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which we human beings could have, wealth which as human beings could have searched out. Let me stumble through that again. To proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9, also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all of its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, this sounds like having to contend with the big guns. Wouldn't you get that idea? Now, remember what the word church means. It's not a religious word. It didn't come into the religious world through some religious concept. The word comes directly out of the Greek language. It's a political word. It was first of all used to define the army when the army was called to muster. The mustered army was the ecclesia. Now, somewhere over the process of time, we've changed the meaning of the word, but let's go back to the beginning. In the time of Christ, in the Greek culture, the word ecclesia described the community of the free citizens of the Greek city-state who were called together by royal decree to determine the government of their community. Ecclesia is a ruling word. And it describes, see, there was no word in the Hebrew language that had the quality and depth of meaning and significance and an overview of authority. And I don't mean that in carrying your big billy club. It's the authority that comes from a shepherd ruler that described what God had brought into being through Jesus Christ in the new creation. The body of Christ, the ecclesia of God, God's vehicle of administration in the earth, is his church. Now, I wonder how remiss we are in dealing with issues in the realm of the spirit in our own day, because we feel it's all too big for us. Yet when we read in the book of Hebrews, we discover how men through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, shut the mouths of lions. I wonder if Daniel had something to do with surviving in the lion's den. No, maybe just commanded them lions to go have a nap for a while. Not bother him. He was too tough for them to chew anyway. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And see, there's such madness, such evil, such determined wickedness penetrating our world today. And I wonder where God's gatekeepers are that can serve notice on the powers of darkness and say, you're not doing it here. Your uncleanness, your filth, your vileness, your hatefulness, your destruction, your chaos in all aspects of our human experience, in all our relationships, in the family, in the community as a whole, in the values of our day. What do we see? evil piling up on top of evil, and nobody is putting a halt to it. When God says he wants to show his many-faceted wisdom through his ecclesia to the principalities and powers, this to me suggests some Holy Ghost action. It's not the power of my shout, but it could be the shout of my power in the name of the Lord Jesus that makes the difference. I can yell and scream at evil all that I want to, but when I come as a herald of the King to declare the good news of him who sits on the throne, who has a plan for your life, who has a plan for this nation, who has a plan for this world, and all too often we just let things go to hell in a handbasket because we think it's all too big for us. We have no way of measuring that. How many Elijahs did it take to stop the rain from falling? Just one? Thank you, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Excuse me, I didn't mean to tarry so long on that point. Let me continue on. Ephesians 3, verse 11. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in him, we do.